This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. Hooters, always a good place to watch the NFL action. College football action on Saturday night. Let's find out more.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans that live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day. And while you're there, enjoy Hooters' great game day eats. Join us for the Bucks Players Show every Monday night at 5 p.m. at Hooters on Hillsboro.
My thanks to Hooters for their in-season sponsorship, second season in a row of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Let's jump right in. I'm going to encourage your emails via this podcast rather than trying to go game by game and give you a very lengthy podcast going into week seven. Let's just switch it up, and I'm going to solicit your questions on lineups and rostering and other things as it relates to matchups. This is probably the most challenged you have been for bye weeks. Again, relative to who you have, last week was not pleasant for those of us that own Alvin Kamara and or Michael Thomas and or Drew Brees and or Mark Ingram as just one example, but even more bye weeks in play this week. No Aaron Rodgers, for example, for those of you that own him from the Green Bay Packers, just as one example of multiple teams that are on bye weeks in week seven. So I encourage your questions through the weekend. Make sure you get your questions to me by before you go to bed on Saturday night. I know some of you like to send your questions after the inactives hit at 11:30 a.m. for the 1 o'clock Eastern starts, but I will have already taking care of everything I need to take care of and be working on my own leagues at that time. And so get me any questions you have by Saturday night, by the time you go to bed, and I'll get back to you. I promise. So ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Remember, the one type of question I'm not going to answer is don't make it so basic. Todd, I have A or B. Who do I start? Well, that's your decision. Now, if you'd like to ask me a question as it relates to A, ask me a question as it relates to that particular player. And then if you'd like to ask a question as it relates to B, ask me that question. More than, I want you to put a little thought into it here. And then I'll give you some thought with my response. And then you utilize my response as a second opinion to make your own decision on your starting lineup. Fair? I like to engage in intelligent conversations about our respective fantasy football teams and all the players out there. And most of you get it. I haven't been getting a lot of those. Here are my five. I need to start two. No, that's not what we're doing here. Raise the bar a little bit. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. As I post this on Friday night, was earlier today, and we had speculated on this in the podcast. I had speculated a while back about the Eagles making a move for a running back, then the Vikings making a move for a running back. Then I speculated on the Jaguars making a move for a running back, especially off two straight losses where without Leonard Fournette, it was clear that their offense was exposed and Blake Bortles, the bad Blake Bortles, was back. So Jacksonville makes the move, albeit a late week move, to bring in Carlos Hyde from just, what, a fifth round pick, and they're taking on a bunch of salary there. The timing of it is very interesting because it kind of impacts both the Browns in their game against the Bucs and impacts the Jaguars because Jaguars won't have enough time to utilize Carlos Hyde in their game against the Texans. So had these teams cut this deal 72 hours earlier, I think they both would have been better off. Browns, it raises the value of Nick Chubb, but I also think it raises the value of Duke Johnson. We are in a season where the ball's in the air a lot. And running backs who catch the ball out of the backfield and are on the field for passing downs have as much value as ever. I keep telling a lot of you on email, if you are flexing a running back who does not catch balls out of the backfield, you're leaving points on the table. Don't do it. You need to be flexing either a running back who does catch the ball out of the backfield, and I'm talking about standard scoring leagues, not just half-point PPR and full-point PPR, or you should be flexing wide receivers or flexing a quality impact tight end if you're accurately playing the tight end the way I've told you for years you need to play the tight end. Not make it mandatory, make it part of a wide receiver slash tight end flex. But that flex player should not be a true ground and pound running back. You are leaving points on the table. Your flex player should be a player who has shown the ability to catch balls. Wide receiver or running back who would be out there in passing situations and getting you receptions and receiving yards and potentially receiving touchdowns. So I think Duke Johnson suddenly, as first time like all year we've mentioned him on the podcast, I think he's in play. I mean, he's coming off in a bad game for the Browns. He was one of their best fantasy performers in the loss game in week six against the Los Angeles Chargers. From the Jaguar standpoint, it's funny how the trade for Hyde suddenly has reports, oh, but Leonard Fournette's coming back. Yeah. Uh-huh. Not buying it. I mean, maybe coming back for one more shot, but this to me screams that Fournette is very close to season-ending IR. Otherwise, someone want to explain to me why they did it? Go ahead. Tell me. Tell me why you would take on. Is Carlos Hyde replacing Corey Grant? No. Carlos Hyde is there to replace Leonard Fournette. The Jaguars have been coddling him, and this exposes how significant the injury has been, and the Jaguars probably regret they didn't try to do this sooner. Now, I'm sure there are Browns fans saying, why are we giving up our best running back? And it isn't because suddenly Hugh Jackson realized the way to get Nick Chubb more carries on first and second down is to not have Carlos Hyde as an option. It's not like Billy Beane in Moneyball, who didn't want Pena at first base, so he trades Pena to Detroit. No, we're not giving Hugh Jackson credit for anything. So I still firmly believe Leonard Fournette is not close to being the Leonard Fournette that you drafted as an RB1. I think the timing of these reports coming out to push back, it's a spin. It's an Olivia Pope job. Carlos Hyde going forward should be considered the number one running back of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Have we seen the last of Leonard Fournette? I don't know that yet. But I think we're going to see a lot of I would say right now going forward, you treat Carlos Hyde as the number one running back on the Jacksonville Jaguars after this week's game, and if you're a Leonard Fournette owner, you're just hopeful he doesn't go on season-ending IR. Maybe they're going to take one more shot at this because the season is slipping away for the Jags. I mean, they look at what's going on with New England and Kansas City, and no one suddenly is mentioning them in that class. In their own division, obviously winning this game against the Texans would take another step towards winning a very winnable AFC South, which means they would host a playoff game, much like they did last year, against likely a wild card team, but then they would face the likelihood of going on the road to New England or on the road to Kansas City. And I think we all agree right now that doesn't look like a very good idea for the Jaguars. So that's the way I look at everything involving Carlos Hyde and Leonard Fournette and the Cleveland Brown running back situation as well. Dalvin Cook ruled out again. At this point, considering Dalvin Cook has kind of been nowhere to be found for week three, week four, five, six. I mean, we're going on a month and a half here. So if you're a Dalvin Cook owner, you're kind of going through the same thing that the Fournette owners went through the first month of the season, and there doesn't appear to be any end in sight. And I know the injury reports are supposed to be honest and true, but look at the late Ryan Tannehill scratch in Miami. And now that's getting investigated because it involves a quarterback, and then there was a major money move on the line, and then the Dolphins ended up winning it with Brock Osweiler winning a track meet against the Chicago Bears in overtime last week. But no Dalvin Cook. Some big names that were pulled off the injury report. Certainly DeAndre Hopkins pulled off the injury report. Let's see, who else? I mean, Edelman and Sony Michel are on the injury report. It seems like more Bill Belichick is putting guys on the injury report just as an FU to the NFL, saying, fine, you've been busting my ass about this for a while. Okay, I'm just going to list questionable, 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 just so you stay off my ass. I believe it was either Mike Florio or someone on ProFootballTalk.com who recently said, notice how the word doubtful's been disappearing from the injury report. It's still supposed to be used. It means less than a 50-50 chance to play, and very rarely are we seeing it this year. Coaches are just labeling guys as questionable. That's it. Just saying, yep, questionable, 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 questionable. Always follow closely on Roto World for some of the best information on questionable players. Trying to think of anything else that falls in. Okay, so with the coordinator change in Arizona, I would expect that means some better things off the latest Arizona Cardinal disaster on Thursday night. Those of you who are David Johnson owners who finally thought you were getting some value out of your RB1 first round pick in David Johnson, and then take the step back with what happened the other night. I would imagine Arizona is going to really go back and simplify everything, and we're going to get a lot of David Johnson, more Larry Fitzgerald, and simplify things for Josh Rosen. So I think this is only good for David Johnson owners that Arizona has made a coaching change, and we have two coordinator changes within 1 week, albeit around a Thursday game with the Bucs defensive coordinator change early in the week off week six, and then the Cardinal offensive coordinator change technically after week seven, but still something you can David Johnson owners hope, and I think accurately will give them some more consistency and some more point production from their running back. All right, again, I'm going to ask for a lot of your emails this week to help you with your specific situations. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. We've been going game by game. I'm not doing that in this podcast. Some things are muddled. Some things are just a little difficult to project. And the final point I want to make here is look back to week six. Look at all the best performers and how you had Jameis Winston jumping in there as a big-time performer, Peyton Barber jumping in there as a big-time performer, Brock Osweiler was up there. Herndon, the tight end for the Jets, was one of the top five tight ends. A couple of the top kickers were the Jets kicker and Brett Maher of the Cowboys. Tyrell Williams bubbled up with a big game at the wide receiver position. I think what that tells you is if you're in a situation with the bye weeks or you're a Carlos Hyde owner and suddenly you don't have Carlos Hyde to start this week because of the trade, don't be afraid to plug and play. Don't be afraid to. Use all the information available to you. Be smart. Names like that show that on a selective basis, those guys can put up numbers. So it's possible. Okay. Sure. You would rather have a starting lineup where you know you have an established player with a high floor and a potentially explosive ceiling to go at every spot. It doesn't work that way, especially once we get to this time of year with the multiple bye weeks. You get the Carlos Hyde trade in there. You've got various players that have been affected by injury. Some have lost Jay Ajayi. Some have lost Jimmy Garoppolo. We've talked about Dalvin Cook owners, Leonard Fournette owners, and what do they do? So if you have to do a plug and play, and granted, there's less on waivers in 12, 14 team leagues than there are on waivers in 8 or 10 team leagues, but there's still players there. So do the best you can, and I'm there to help you. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Once again, the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. You know where your nearest Hooters location is, don't you? And of course, for those of you here in the Tampa Bay area where I live, I thank the original Hooters brand with their 12 locations. And Ty, even at the Hillsborough Avenue location in Tampa, was telling me last night when I went in there how there will be some calendar signings that will be done coming up, I believe, in a little over a month, as Hooters will be promoting the calendar signings. As we're getting close to that time where you're going to hear how everything is the makes a great Christmas gift. Yeah. Well, a signed Hooters calendar by some Hooters calendar girls, you could get a lot worse Christmas gifts or give a lot worse Christmas gifts than that. So my thanks to Hooters for their in-season sponsorship, second year in a row of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Again, my email, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com for all your questions going into Week 7, Sunday and Monday. We'll talk to you next time.